ever. Moments go, time runs out, and then it hits you with pain. Things are great on the way out, but nobody's with you when you're on the way down. You got what you wish for, is that what you Welcome back to the Gods of Ghosts Volleyball Podcast, and your host, Scott Bemke, for part two of our interview with 50-time Beach Open winner, 8-time Manhattan Beach Open champion, and legendary UC Santa Barbara volleyball coach, Kathy Gregory. Enjoy part two.
You mentioned Mike Storm and Norman. What was he like?
Oh, Storm and Norman, he was tough, too. He was... Okay, that guy could talk a dog off a meat truck. Let me tell you, that dog, he's unbelievable. He could. I think I talk. No, he talks a lot, but he was, and he didn't back down to anyone. But he was also could jump out of the gym when he played at UCLA. He was small and he could hang, and he was controversial on everything. And I mean, you didn't say, if you want to get in a fight and say something, just say the wrong thing, and he'll come across the net. And he would take you out. He was a little crazed at times, but he also was a great all-around player, and he did love the game.
Kathy Hanley,
also Mike's best friend. Now we're pickleball. Now we play pickleball all the time down here in Santa Barbara and all over. But she was a great player. She's only 5'5". She got a lot of serves when she played for me, and she had to listen to me yell every time I said line, not angle. So I'm laughing. she laughs at that I called everything. And then one time I remember I said a beautiful ball, and I said something like, "Oh, I should be able to hit my own set." Just kidding. So she goes, "I wish you could." So we were laughing, but it came best friends. She was so shy, but then she's not so shy now. She took a great job working at special ed, and she is a snapper now. She's retired, but we had so much fun because we played every day at East Beach. So to have East Beach, first of all, this great beach that I had, and we'd go down there only 10 minutes and be able to play 5 or 6 games every day, go in the ocean, go bike riding, go skating. We were into even rollerblading there, but then that got a little tad dangerous, so we don't do the rollerblading anymore. But she was a great all-around player.
She commented on the post that I put up too, and she said, "Ask her about pickleball, the new sport, and how she continues to mentor and torment me when we play, just like when we played on the beach years ago."
It is so funny because she took it up. I took it up first, so then she started to learn it. So I would have my dialogue, but I think the funniest was John Hanley, and that's her brother, and Linda Hanley came up, and they are great. Linda Hanley was a tennis player at UCLA, and so they had a lesson going over on the pro. And so then afterwards, I was playing on one court. I go, "Well, let's play some games." So I play with Linda, and we kill them. And I go, "Well, no, I'll play with Kathy, and you guys play." And so we're playing the game, and all of a sudden, I know it was shades of me back in the Laguna or Manhattan Beach Open. I was crazed. I went to her, and I said, because she missed a couple, I said, "Look at, I'm like 70. I can't carry you this. You're going to have to keep the ball in play," something like that. "I can't carry you now. I'm not young." And I'm laughing. And then Linda was laughing. And then John. And then all of a sudden, like, it went to overtime. And we won. And I would thought I won the Laguna Open again. So I don't know why I'm so competitive. But
you run around the court.
She's gotten really good now. She's gotten really good. And she loves it. And it's so great that we can be doubles partners in a sport. And now we're... Everyone goes, "Oh, those are the volleyball players. You don't want to play against them. They talk, they this, that." But yeah, so it's great. It's another sport that you can enjoy, and it's really fun.
Excellent. All right, let's move on to question number 8. Who were the 3 best teams you ever saw and or played against of any era, men or women, or if you want to cite men and women, well, however you want to do it.
Okay. Oh, gee, that's hard. Well, of course, the women, I'm going to say that I saw play, that I have to give Misty and Carrie their best women's team that's ever played. I mean, I didn't play against them, but they were, out of all the era that I played and seeing they were, I would say Jackie Silva would be, I don't know who she won the Olympics with, I don't know which Brazilian, but the one she won the gold medal, and I'm not sure which partner it was. I think they were one of the best. I think that Nina Matthews and Linda Hanley were one of the greatest women's team. I played them enough times in the finals, I don't know. But yes, they were one of the greatest teams. And, you know, and man, there was just, you know, there's so many. I really, you know, it's so hard for me to tell, you know, who's the best in all that area. I mean, obviously now Phil Dalhouser and was in Todd Rogers. They had a great run, and they were all Todd's from Santa Barbara, but Phil still is great. It, you know, and it's just hard, you know. In the men's, it's hard to say. I mean, watching, you know, Greg Lee and Jim Mingus, they were so steady. They won so many tournaments. I mean, watching Selznick, it's hard to compare one from another or different age. Now there's so many great volleyball players. So, you know, the women I knew more, the men I watched, you know, Larry Rundle was great. Henry Bergman, of course, was a great player from Santa Barbara. And you know, what was so great is so many different people won different Opens. I mean, you know, Tim Hovland, he was great to watch because he, again, had the great personality and had the good balance with Mike Dodd. They were opposites, but they could play. They were fun to watch. I mean, I loved watching Obradovich play because at least he had some fire in his belly at times, even though he also was very outgoing. So, you know, sometimes it's not even about the winning. Just anyone could win on a given day, especially with the way it is. You got in that loser's bracket. You know, those days where you played 8 straight matches on a Sunday, and you finish one, and they go, 10 minutes, you're up on the other court. And that, you know, and sometimes what you come through and did was remarkable. So it's just a different era and different times, but so many great players.
That Hooper, I guess OB and Hooper, from what I heard, were quite the sight to watch.
Huh? Oh, those are the ones. I mean, if they didn't kill each other, even Hooper one day yelled at me at East Beach one day, the ball went on his court in the middle of the game, and he went, I won't even use the word, and I go, oh my God, would you just said that to me? The ball went on the court in the midday? And then he would do drills where he's hitting and then running halfway down the beach and shagging. I mean, these people were a little out there. I mean, Hooper was definitely out there, but he also loved the game. He played on the Santa Barbara men's team. But, yes, actually, Obradovich and Tim Spies, I was playing, and they were at El Camino Junior College playing. And I was in the USVBA, and I think we won that Nationals. And I watched them play, and then I met them, and I liked both of them because they were both small, but they were so aggressive, and they played together in a lot of tournaments.
I heard Spies could really lay the wood on the ball. He was a
heavy hitter. He was left-handed, a whip of one of the best whips of an arm you've ever seen. It's unbelievable. And so I can't believe that I did remember that. That's how I met them at USVBA. And so, yeah, I've always been fans of all-around players.
Did you ever see Hooper as Dr. Digg make an appearance at UC
Santa Barbara for your Gauchos? Oh, yes, he was at the games. Yes, what do you mean? He did that all the time. I don't think he did it for my games, but he dressed with the outfit on and the cape, and then they tried to ace him, but there's no way they could ace him. There's no way indoors. I mean, well, these weren't the greatest servers, but it was so fun. I mean, that's when volleyball was sort of fun. In the indoors game, when the men were playing and they were great, they were second 2 years, Michael Moss, who was one of my best friends and also an assistant coach, he would, as the teams were warming up, Michael Moss would start on the 12-foot line with no block, and he'd dig every ball they're hitting with no block.
Did he have a cigarette in his mouth?
No, that's when he was still, no, I don't think he was smoking. And so it was unbelievable. Plus the gym, the Rob gym was filled up. I mean, it was out of control. Plus they do a defensive drill where they throw the ball like 30 feet into the stands, diving back and forth. Now in men's volleyball, it's, you know, it's a bunch of trees playing. Nobody's really diving or ball. So that was an exciting time. But yeah, the scoop was quite the character. Yes.
Moving forward to today's game now, short court, rally scoring. What are your thoughts on the game today? And you know, are you happy with it? Or, you know, what's
your thought? Well, you know what? I understand that part of it is, since I did do the commentating for TV, I know you have to get it into a kind of situation where it can't be monitored. So if you play the regular thing, the game and the serving and side out. My God, you'd be bored to death. You'd turn off the TV because, I mean, it's amazing. Even a rally scoring, how many serves they miss. And so if you did that in regular scoring, there's no way you could promote the game. The short court, I'm mixed on that because I still think that it did take away from some of the shorter players. I did have a good jumbo shot, and it does take that away, but I don't think it takes it away that much because now when I was playing only at the very end did they start blocking a lot, so I still think you can put shots down. As far as what I do dislike is the net call on the serve. That's ridiculous. So you've got to, you know, the let. That's you serve the ball and the ball hits the top of the net. That should be a violation. That's it. You don't get that to play that. I think that's the worst rule that has come in. That's ridiculous. You shouldn't be able to hit the net. Why are you rewarded for hitting the net? Like it's, so I don't like that rule. I do like now a little bit better the freeze because it does give you a chance to come back in the third game, and I know some don't like that, but you know what, everything, time has changed, and you know, hey, those guys for money, they'd play any, hey, they were playing that game, what was that game, they have the tournament where they're playing like side out queen of the court, right. I got dizzy with that. I went, oh my God, I can't even watch that, what is that? But they were playing for money, they didn't bother them playing that, so money speaks, people will be out there to play.
You mentioned May and Walsh as being probably the ultimate women's team that you had seen throughout your career. In your prime, if you played, you know, a one game to 15 on the old court, you know, no antennas,
right.
How would you do against them one game to 15? And who would you pick as your partner? You could pick anyone that you ever played with. And then what would your strategy be to play a team like that?
Well, first of all, I would pick Mickey McFadden because she's mentally tougher. She played indoors. See, those are indoor girls, too. And I think that without a doubt that we could be competitive. And what that means by saying that, can't tell you how many points we would get. I don't think we would win, but we would never back down. Players of our age, we would play anybody, anytime. There's no one that would scare you. Actually, mind you, would probably be a little different than at the career. I would be serving carry a little bit more, deep floaters or short balls. And then also would probably, with her blocking, set the ball a little bit back. And if we have the long court, even though Misty is the greatest defensive player of all time, I think that we could side out. So I don't think we could beat them because they are phenomenal, but I think we could compete. That's my opinion.
You could have given them one of the infamous Gregory battles.
Oh, yeah. Well, Alyssa Battle, yes. I mean, when I beat Silva, I can't believe that I beat Jackie Silva. She's physically better than everything, but there's sometimes you find a way to win. You know, it's not always pretty. The game's not pretty all the time, but if you can be, if you play in the key points, the secret to winning in beach volleyball is when it is the key points. And that means when the score is tied, you have a point for transition. You don't miss a serve. You don't serve the wrong person when you score 2 points. Now, I don't know. I mean, you got to think to play this game. I mean, it's physical, but it's still a mental game where you have to have that. And you have to be able to side out and not make errors when it counts. And it's hard. It's hard. Don't get me wrong. I'm always imperfect, but I'm just saying those are the things you have to have to be a champion.
As we move into your UC Santa Barbara coaching career, Bill Ashen had wanted me to ask you this. How did Title IX affect your career?
Okay, well, let's see. Title IX didn't really affect me as much because when I first went to Santa Barbara, I was coaching at Marymount High School, and I loved it. I lived in Santa Monica. I went to the beach, and I was playing in the pro league where there was 4 guys and 2 girls, and they asked, the coach told me she was leaving, so would I want to be the coach at Santa Barbara? So I went up and interviewed, and then they told me when I got there that I was going to have to teach like 10 classes. And I went, 10 classes? I didn't have to teach 10 classes in high school, even though there were PE. And then I went, okay, well, what are the scholarships? No, there's no scholarships. Oh, well, what's the assistant? You have a volunteer. So I have to say, the first I was at Santa Barbara, that was first year, we did get to the playoffs, but I was ready to go right back to Marymount High School. I can't, this job will kill me. And so, wouldn't you know it, it was fate. If you believe in fate, and I do, in karma, one of the athletic directors was suing the school for title, for one of the floating bottom that you have to leave in 5 years. So she was up for the 5 years. So she won, but she was let go. But then she said that volleyball has to have a 50-50, which means half teaching and half coaching. So I stayed. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been in Santa Barbara. So anyway, it didn't affect me right then. So, but what was interesting is that finally in 82, the school started to come up with some money. See, everyone thinks like Santa Barbara's so beautiful, so much money, but it really wasn't funded. People wanted to go there. It's a great academic, but it didn't have all the scholarships. You know, the bigger schools had all the scholarships right at the beginning. But anyway, then in 1982, I got like six scholarships, and so I, or four or five, and then I got the best recruits, and we were ranked number one. And I went, oh my gosh, number one! But that year we ended up fifth, and I also got some girls that didn't match my personality. So I learned a lot that year on who to recruit that would fit me, and the whole thing. So it did, it did help me a little, but not as much as some of the schools that had football, and they, you know, then they had to get equal everything. But it definitely has helped women's sports, that women were able to get the opportunity to have better facilities, and I mean things like that. It helped facilities and time and get a chance to play. So obviously it's unbelievable. But it didn't specifically help me like, here you have this, this and that, because sometimes it was the school, the situation they were in.
Gotcha. Okay. You had an outstanding coaching career there at UC Santa Barbara for 38 years. Can you share with us some, what some of your basic coaching philosophies were, and then what you were most proud of from your time as a coach for the Gauchos?
Okay. Well, my coaching philosophy was that I liked girls that were outgoing. I liked girls that were tough. When I first started, I didn't get the tallest players. I remember when I was doing the TV with Chris Morrow, he said, yeah, if you want to go to Santa Barbara, you have to be able to not pass the test where you can drive the car. You have to go be under the sign, because those are the kind of girls Kathy had. Remember, you had to measure. He was a smart ass too, but he's also the one of the best players I've ever played with in mixed. He has one of the greatest personalities too. Anyway, so I first got smaller players that were tougher, that didn't go to good schools, and then we competed because we played great defense, and you didn't want to play a Santa Barbara team because we were pretty tough. Then all of a sudden I got a little smarter and learned how to get some taller players, and I had some great assistant coaches. David Noble was one that helped me recruit some great girls that helped us almost get to the Final Four. And so I appreciated that opportunity. But I think the kind of girl that I learned at the end was one that could take, I was, you know, everybody who could play for me, because I was a little too demanding and too competitive. I'm the first to say that. But those that could play for, I have to say that some of the greatest compliments I got after playing for Kathy Gregory, there's not anything I can't do. There's not anything someone can't say. Because you know what? I always tell people, volleyball, this is a game. You play it and you walk away. Real life is when you are knocked down and when you have adversity in your life, how do you get through it? So I always thought that sports and being tough, I'm not saying over tough, but just competing and giving your best and is going to make you tougher. But, you know, I don't regret anything. I don't regret any of the losses. Everything was good, but I'm full of gratitude that, first of all, I could have a career 38 years at Santa Barbara, 7 at Marymount, 45 straight years. Let's see who else works 45 straight years in this world nowadays. So I'm healthy. I still have the same amount of energy that I had, but probably the thing that I'm the most proud about, you're going to laugh, is that any woman that played for me for 4 years, now some transferred and that happens, some and some, you know, walked on and then they got into Santa Barbara and they love Santa Barbara, but they don't want to play. 100% graduation rate. Wow. 100%. No one else could say that played. Now you had to play for 4 years. Yeah. So I laugh at that. It's not my winning record or whatever, but at least they graduated, and that was my responsibility, you know.
That's impressive.
You have to get an education. Yeah. So I'm most proud about that.
I, over that time frame that you were there, you probably had some memorable players. Are there a couple that you that stick out that you really found to be special?
Oh, I have so many, but I think the most influential person that probably affected my life and probably the most why I coached was Judy Bellomo. She was this is a great story. She was a girl that was at Nevada, Las Vegas, and we're playing Nevada, Las Vegas, and my girls are like, oh, we're in Las Vegas. What are we going to do? I go, what are we going to do? Let's try to win this game right now and quit talking about Vegas, you know, and like they were actually even going to go out. But anyway, so I look over and I see this girl jumping and I go, look at that girl. Look at how she jumped. That girl was really good. Let's be ready to play. So all of a sudden we start playing and we're playing so bad and this girl is killing us. And anyway, it turned out we won the match. And so after the match, I went up to her and I just said, I just want to tell you that you are one of the greatest players and mirrored in my personality that I've ever seen. And she goes, well, I wrote you a letter. You didn't write me back. And I went, oh, no. She said that to me. So I go back and I find out that there was a handwritten letter, like handwritten at that time. Well, they didn't have all the iPads and everything, the computers. And so I looked at it and now I realized I didn't write her back. She had like a 2.3 GPA. Even at that time, I couldn't get her in. So I went, oh, geez, too bad. I couldn't have gotten her in. Well, lo and behold, Las Vegas drops their program and she calls me and says, I want to come to Santa Barbara. And I said, oh, yes, you come to Santa Barbara right now. I have the scholarship for you, knows this or that. So she came, and then she was the most committed, dedicated, complete my personality, so athletic, only 5'10", but she could jump. Anyway, her junior year, she made like second team. So she said to me, Kathy, I want to be the best beach player and the best indoors. And that's before we had all the NCAA rules. And I said, okay, then I'm going to take you over to these sand courts where there was no water fountain, no nothing, and I'm going to play you every day, and I'm also going to give you this program on running and agility, although she was a great athlete. So we'd play every day, and every game won. And so she'd say to me, I hate this game. I hate it. And I go, you hate it now? This time in a year or two, you're going to love this game. So this girl came back her senior year and went from making second team all-league to first team all-American, the highest percentage of kills. We beat UCLA, SC. She went to the beach. She won one of the top beach programs. She went to Japan and won like a $5,000 tournament before there was any money. And then she became one of the assistant coaches, and she got a chance to the national team. So that's probably one of my biggest success stories of a player. But the sad part is she did die young. And every time I would go to coach, I'd think of her, and I think she influenced me to give me the energy to coach for 38 years. And so that was a great sentimental, but I had so many great players. I mean, so many All-Americans. Brooke Niles, who's now the head coach at Florida State, was the toughest girl, 5'8". Oh, she'll say she's 5'9". She played every position, but the middle, the most humble, the best, toughest, by far the toughest girl ever to play for me. And now she was coach of the year the first year, so I feel good about that. You know, I had a girl that was 5'9", Roberta Gilkey, that looked like a Barbie doll, and that was recruited by some, but not the top, all the top. And she ended up the number one hitter again and getting us almost to the Final Four. So those three were, they have influenced, those three were, I mean, I have so many, you know what I mean? I have girls, I have great girls. I was lucky, you know? I'm filled with gratitude that I had this career, and I know there's lots of things I could have done better, but I think when it's all said and done, I did try to give my best, and you know, and I have no regrets. That's all you want in life, you know, just to be able to do what you like and push and accept what comes your way. So I'm pretty lucky.
Well said. Dana Wall wants to know who the most fun Gaucho parent was ever.
Oh, well, of course, she's the most fun. She was the best. She played down. I don't know how good you knew how good she was. She was at San Diego State when Rudy Saworo was coaching, and they were the great Aztec teams, and she was great. And her daughter was 6'3" middle that, also Brett had the personality of no one. She was, I think I liked her because she always laughed at every one of my jokes. Half the team was a little scared, but she was the best. But Dana was so perfect because even the first year Brett didn't play as much, and she never got on me like, you know, the parents of today. Oh my God, the helicopter parents, they're on you like gum on shoes. So it's a different era coaching. She was the funnest and the nicest, and it was so nice to be able to talk to her after the game. We're still great friends, and Brett is happy and married and a couple of kids, so it's so nice. I'm now on the Instagram. I can't do the Facebook. That's just too much time, but I do have the Instagram, so I get to keep in touch with a lot of them through that too.
Question 12. Many of us got to know about you from your beach volleyball career, obviously, but then you transitioned right into the announcing career on ESPN and those hot Tuesday nights and all that fun stuff. Right. How did that opportunity come about, and what do you recall about that experience in the broadcast booth, Kathy?
Well, that was one of the funnest times, and I have to say it started at Pismo Beach, and I'm warming up to play. I think it was Nina got third. Well, anyway, Nina was warming up, and I was warming up, and they said, "Hey, before you play, we want to do a little two-minute tip on something." And I go, "Oh, no problem." The camera. So I go, "Okay, that's no problem." So I'm warming up. So Nina's doing it. So, oh, I know Nina was doing it. I was up. She had already played. So I was getting ready. So all of a sudden, they're like calling us up, and I go, "Nina, you're killing me. Let's go. You got to take 20. Let's go. Come on." So finally they called me. And I said, "Look, I've got 1 minute. This is going to be take one. Are you ready?" So they go, These are the keys setting. Bum, 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 bum. No stumble, no nothing. And I go, "Hey, how's that?" And they go, "Oh, boy, after you finish, you ever want to do some of the TV, go ahead." So that was how I first did it. And then I was fortunate because I got to work with Chris Marlowe, and he helped me a lot. And I think add a lot of personality to the broadcast. But I don't want to do it anymore because I don't like traveling. But it was very fun at the time. And also the players liked me interviewing because I would tell them the question first and then I'd give them the answer because they'd get too nervous. They're ready to play. And they go, "Give me the question." And I'd say it and they go, "Oh," I go, "Okay, here's the answer. This is what you're going to do today. You're going to make," "Okay, that's good, good, good. Ask me that." But it was fun because it was in a different level. But you know what? It was too much sitting around. So as much as I like TV, I'm not meant to sit around for 8 hours. So it was fun, but it's not really my cup of tea.
Marlo was a fun guy to work with.
Oh, the funnest.
Any memorable stories with him?
Well, I remember when I was playing in the mixed with him, and we were playing so bad, and he goes, and so it was getting dark. We're playing, of course, Butch May, the greatest mixed player, and Eileen Clancy, and they're up by one, and he goes, "We need a timeout." And I go, "Timeout?" I said, "It's pitch dark out here. I can barely see." He goes, "We need a timeout." So we need the timeout. So he takes the timeout. The next ball, I don't even know where it went. He got aced and we lost. And he took the line and ripped the whole four line out with one swat. I go, "That's unbelievable. We should have had a little of that when we played in the game." But he was the funniest. We had the running dialogue on every play when we played. Every play, there was a comment from him or me. And he was one of the greatest and funnest players. And he is one of the best announcers ever. Oh, you know, he's still doing it. Look at him. Yeah, so he helped my career because I said, "You know, I don't think I'm that good at this." And he goes, "No, well, you are. You just be who you are, be girl." And so so once I was just natural, because after the first one I did, it was a major league. I went, "Oh, I was so bad. I don't think I can do it." then I looked at it and I went, "Guess what? I wasn't that bad. I wasn't that bad." So I did it. But again, the traveling, I don't really know how I did it, how I coached. I did that, but I feel fortunate to have done it at that time.
Looking back on your career, you've had I've got a page of accolades here, but I'll just touch on a few of them. International Volleyball Hall of Fame inductee in 1989. California Beach Volleyball Association Hall of Fame inductee in 92, 50 open wins on the beach, a career on the beach that spanned 20 years, 15-time U.S. Nationals All-American, U.S. National Indoor Women's Team competitor at the 68 Pan Am and World Games, 2-time Beach World Champ, Queen of the Beach, 5 times Women's Beach Player of the Year, just to name a few. Plus your coaching career and all you did for those kids over the years. What are you most proud of in your career, Kathy? I know, you know, the graduation rate was a big deal on the collegiate level.
I think the thing is that I'm glad, not to interrupt you, Scott, it's just that I'm glad that I am the same person that I was when I was 28 years old and I took the coaching job. Nothing, the ups and downs and the success, I didn't become like think I'm the greatest or this or that. I remained the same kind of personality, and I had more gratitude. The longer I coached, I was more mature. I made obviously better decisions, and I walked away from a career where, you know, wasn't always perfect, but I thought, guy, I thought maybe I died after I retired. I never had people say such nice things. I would have retired a little sooner. So I knew that I did some good things, but believe me, it wasn't all perfect. I know that, but no one is. Come on, no one is. So I'm happy that, and even to this day, I feel I have the same amount of energy when I was then. I love the game. I love sports. I'm now consulting a couple of college teams. One is pretty good, but I shouldn't say the name. But, and people are now calling me, and I feel like my instincts are always good, but now I feel like I can really give to people, and I have helped a lot of coaches. I'm helping people get scholarships and, you know, just give back that way, as well as, you know, playing pickleball, swimming. I've got two labradoodles that are the toast of Santa Barbara. And so I'm happy. You know what? Health and happiness are what it's all about, and giving back and having gratitude. I try to live my life like that every day. And when I go tomorrow, nobody cry a tear for me because I've had a great life. You know, that's how I look at life.
Good stuff.
Okay.
What are you up to these days? You touched on it a little bit. Where are you living? Your hobbies? I know pickleball, occupation, family.
Yes, pickleball is big. I'm very competitive. I'm living in Santa Barbara, and I have a place in Laguna Niguel, and I go down there sometimes because I have my pickleball group down there. But now I'm renting it out because I've got too much going here in Santa Barbara. We started with no courts and went to the city council, got 8 courts. I actually was giving some lessons, and anybody that I play with, like someone will say, hey, I want to play with you because you're the coach, and people call me coach. I go, okay, but I do the talking. If you don't want the talking, no, I want it. And someone else will say, no, I don't want the talking. Don't talk to me. I go, okay, well, then I shouldn't play with you. You should play with someone else. But so that's big. Like I said, the consulting, I've got like 3 college teams that I watch a lot of their games and talk very regularly about the lineup, the this or personal. You know, a lot of these college coaches, they don't have mentors or someone that's been there. I mean, they have assistant coaches, but someone else. So I want to give back on that. And you know what? That's my life. I do something for myself every day. I do something for someone else. And, you know, that's how I live my life. So I'm very lucky.
Yeah, well, you've worked hard, so.
Yeah, oh, also swimming. I forgot that. I do the swimming, but I also do the treading water, which is very good for anyone that listens to this. If you have injuries, the treading water is unbelievable. It takes the inflammation and the joints, and that's why I can still play pickleball, walk, swim, and do everything. So I do that in the pool. That's unbelievable. Sometimes an hour and a half. It's unbelievable. It's very relaxing. Yeah, so I have the pool right here at Santa Barbara too, the school pool.
So I
have a full day. I have a full day, full night. Yes, everything's good.
And as we wrap up here, there was a couple last comments that some of the fans had for you. Steve Burmaster said, ask her about the killer water volleyball match we had in the hotel pool in Puerto Rico during a WPVA event.
Oh, I forgot.
When she was working for ESPN with Keith Erickson, and her color commentating during the match was typical Kathy Gregory. In the mouth was in rare form, in that there may or may not have been a Meet the Parents volleyball spike to someone's face.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, yes, it was. We were in there and we're at the hotel. And first, Keith, who was top player, I was like Lily White. I said, Keith, what, have you not been in the sun in for 20 years? I said, you better put some sunscreen on. So we're in there, and then all of a sudden they put that up. So we started playing. And then next minute, some of the others and then some other people. So then I just started doing, I said, I'm going to practice my commentating, Keith, and show you how good I am. We hadn't worked together. And so I was doing commentating on every play. Oh, the ball is set high. Oh, you know, and making it funny. Then all of a sudden there's like a giant crowd, so I can't believe he remembers that. But yes, that was prior to calling the Puerto Rican tournament with Keith Erickson, another great guy.
Great story. Ron Lang's better half, Linda Lang, said that you played on a team with her called the Windjammers. Great sense of humor, good friend. You played hard, you were the nucleus of the team, and that you and, I guess, Mickey, Char, Roseanne, Christy, Georgianne, these players, in that playing for Gene was a real trip. Any good Windjammer stories you can share before we wrap up here today, Kathy?
Okay, so good. First of all, Linda Lang is probably the funnest person ever. She's with Ron Lang. She was a pistol. You know, there's only one word to describe Linda, a pistol, the funnest thing. But I think the greatest was that, like I said, we were traveling with Selznick, and then here's, for example, we had the, we'd go to the Nationals. But before we'd go to the Nationals, Gene would have us go to, like, Puerto Rico. Rico or somewhere and play a couple exhibitions and play. And we thought, oh, how great, get there before we go to the Nationals. So all of a sudden we get the tickets, and the tickets like have a different name. And I'm going, Gene, why does the different ticket have a different name? Gene. So I was about the only one who realized, I think we were on some stolen plane tickets, but I think, oh, God, well, I can't do anything. So, but anyway, but we'd go and we'd play. We'd go on the beach and play all day. Then we'd go play a team, and the next minute we were in the casino because they all loved to gamble. And then we'd go to the Nationals, and that was another playing and partying. So those were, and all those gals on the beach were all so fun. I mean, you could say anything. Those were, in fact, that I think that picture in the, and when we were in the pink bikinis, that was one of the best highlights. But Linda Lang, she is a pistol. Great gal.
Yeah,
so that was fun. That was fun. Those, I mean, like I said, all we're doing is playing in tournaments, our own money. We're paying our own dime to go to the Nationals. We're wearing bathing suits. But the six man, you know, you have to see how big it is now. But those were just great, wonderful times.
Yeah, looking at that picture Mike Moss put up, looks like you had quite the team and had a lot of fun. That's a classic.
Yes, we won a lot of those six-mans. In fact, one time we were playing in the six-man, and Kim Oden from Stanford, the All-American, comes walking on the beach, all right? And all of a sudden my eyes said, oh, my God, I'm going to run. And I ran like I've never ran and got her. And I put her on that beach, and we played and won the six-man, and she'd never done it. And I remember me saying to her, geez, you should have me setting for you at Stanford, and you can win the national championship. So I helped, I got her, and then she loved it. Then she got on the four man and helped, when I called that, helped her. Paula Wyshoff, another player that didn't play that much on the beach, but I played in a tournament, and they were serving her, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, they're serving her over me, God help us. And we got a second. So I had a lot of chance to play with a lot of those great younger girls that I helped and had a lot of fun with too. Yeah, I'm just very lucky and blessed to have the life I've had.
Yeah, you, when it comes to women's players that in this sport in general, I can't think of anyone else that's had as big of an impact on it in so many different ways. So congratulations to you on a phenomenal career.
Thank you, Scott, for doing this and taking the time to even do these interviews for those that maybe want to listen. Who knows if five people like it, so it's good. Who knows? But it did give you a little knowledge of some different time. So thank you so much for putting your own time and effort into this.
Yeah, it was an honor speaking with you, and I'll keep you posted when I have this finished, and I'll send you the link and and let you know. But thanks so much for your time today.
Great.
And I greatly appreciate it, and all the best to you, Kathy.
Okay, I think it was pretty good. I think it was entertaining. So
it was great.
Good.
It was good. Couldn't ask for better. As always, okay. You delivered.
Okay, great. Okay, talk to you later. Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
This concludes our interview with Kathy Gregory. Thanks so much for listening. I'd like to give thanks to the bands that we use for the intro music. It's the band Sponge. The song title is Rainin' off the album Rotting Pinata. The closing music that you're going to hear shortly is from the band Magna Carta Cartel. The song title is That It's Already Too Late off the album Good Morning Restrained. As a reminder, we have a website, which is godstoghosts.com, and we also have a Facebook page, which is Gods to Ghosts Volleyball. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for our next interview coming up soon. Thank you.